Hello, hello, hello. This is Jan Desper Peters, and I am the host of BTST Services podcast, Meeting You Where You Are. I am so excited today that I have a phenomenal guest, and I just want to give you some words of encouragement that even though we're in this storm called COVID-19, we are going to get to the other side. It's an old hymn that says the storm is passing over. And so that's what I'm singing to myself. The storm is passing over. I know that it doesn't look like it. I know when you look at the news and you see the number of new cases and you see the number of deaths that it looks abysmal, but there is hope. And I'm just encouraging you to keep on keeping on because there is light at the end of the tunnel. And so today we're going to be talking to Lisa Anderson. She describes herself on some of the literature that I've read as a serial entrepreneur. And that resonates with me because that is who I am as well. I am always thinking about how to grow my own business as well as the business of BTST Services and BTST Cares, where I am the executive director of their nonprofit. And so I just want to give you good information. There's so much bad information about so many things right now. People aren't trusting the science as it relates to this pandemic. People on the social media, even our national leaders are not trusting the science. But believe me, if you will commit to trusting the facts as it relates to physical distancing, washing your hands and staying at home unless it's absolutely necessary for you to leave, we can flatten this curve. I know that we are individuals and we have choices to make, but make the choice maybe not for yourself, but somebody else, because you could be what they call asymptomatic. You feel fine. You don't have any symptoms. And you come back into your home and you infect someone else. So I'm asking you, and I know many of you don't even know me, but I'm asking you as a fellow human being, as a fellow American, to please, please stay at home and do what we need to do to flatten this curve. So without further ado, I'm going to jump right in and talk to my guest, Lisa Anderson. So Lisa, you have so many titles and you have done so many things. You're a business advisor. You're a CPA, you're an entrepreneur, you're a business coach, you're a leadership coach, and you have not only helped other people grow their businesses to the $1 million and the multi-million dollar level, but you've done that for yourself. So Lisa, before we kind of dive in, how are you doing today?
I am happy. It is Friday. It is my favorite day of the week. That's the honest truth. I don't care what's going on Friday. The world could be blowing up inside, outside, all around me, but it does not matter. It does not change my spirits. I'm happy it's Friday, and I'm happy to be here with you. So thank you, Jan, for inviting me.
I'm so glad that we finally did it. For just a little aside, Lisa and I have been trying to do this for months. We've been trying to do this for months. And then we had a date, and that's when coronavirus shut everything down. Yeah. So we usually tape in studio at our offices in Baltimore. Or we also have offices in Prince George's County, Maryland. And we had a date all set. And then that's when, shelter in place, quarantine, all those words started popping up. And then the governor just said, we're shutting everything down. So yeah. I'm so happy that we finally got to this point. Yes. So how are you and your family handling the quarantine?
Oh my goodness. I'm going to tell you this. Last night, my daughter texted us. She's a psychology major, and she does industrial organizational psychology for corporations. But she texted us and asked us to take the 16 personality quiz.
Right.
And each one of us did. And it was amazing to take a look at that and see how very accurate it is. So I'm saying that to say that it's interesting how we're managing that.
Right,
I'm in a home with mainly introverts, and I have one super extrovert. And so we're the introverts. We're staying locked in. You know, we're doing all the things that we need to do by way of social distancing. But my extrovert, my super extrovert, he is off the chain. He is off the chain trying to, so you know, now they've opened up for outdoor activities, right? So we, golfing is open and
oh my God, I have parks. A golfer too.
He's gonna get a phone call, Jan, letting you know that.
I have a golfer too, and when they shut down the golf courses in Maryland, I thought I was going to actually have to get him therapy.
Oh my goodness. But we're managing. Everybody's healthy. I miss other members of my family, those who don't live in my house, because we do a lot of family activity. So, you know, we do a lot of things we have done some things on Zoom and just trying to stay in contact with each other. So I missed that part of it, but
right, exactly.
We're doing good. Yeah.
That's good. I'm good. I'm glad to hear that. So Lisa, you own, is it Anovo?
Anovo.
Anovo Transformation Solutions.
Correct.
And you do a lot with, again, with coaching and providing just information to help build businesses. Tell us how you got into that business, because like I said before, you're a CPA. And yes. So I know that you've had careers with other companies, and then you started your own company as it related to being a CPA, and then kind of transitioned into this piece. So tell us your journey.
Absolutely. So Anovo Transformation Solutions is an extension or something that was grown out of my first business. My first business was Deander Associates, which was an accounting and financial compliance consulting firm. We did a lot of outsource functions for small, mid-sized businesses, as well as for the federal government. And over the course of 20 years, we did a lot of great work. But through that process of working with small businesses, which is where my passion is, where I absolutely love small business, I really do have, I think it's my life's work to help small businesses grow, because it's something that kind of attached to me without me going to look for it.
Okay.
And after working with so many small businesses and just really analyzing and taking a look at their growth trajectory, their pathway, to growth, and then what happens at the end of certain roads, I found it necessary to, instead of being a done-for-you, full outsource component, it was necessary to become that real, true, trusted advisor to small business owners. And so we sold our first business on its 20-year anniversary.
Wow.
Absolutely. And it was fun. It was an interesting process to go through that process. But we sold that business and stepped fully into Anovo Transformation Solutions, where we still do some outsource components, but most of our work is really centered around one-on-one advisory, coaching, financial management, oversight, forecasting, helping companies really see their way through to their legacies, really building solid, scalable businesses. So that's kind of what we do now.
So Lisa, if I came to you as a client, what would you be looking for? Like, you know, if you have an ideal client, and what would be some of the things you'd be looking for as it related to my business?
Yeah, so we mainly work with service-based business owners. And so what we look for, so we work with companies from what we say from startup to 30 million, but our sweet spot is working with solopreneurs who are in business. They've been in business for about 3 years, roughly. They've made a good amount of money. They've had some really good success, but they're stuck. They've reached a plateau. Yeah. They are having a hard time breaking through a glass ceiling. And it's, you know, the glass ceiling is a little bit different than some of the glass ceilings that we've heard about, you know, in history, but it's really more like, you know, I know there's more, and I just can't get to it. I know that, you know, there's something else that I should be achieving, but no matter what I'm doing, I just stay flat. I stay stagnant. And so what we do is we go in and we work with companies, business owners, to help them, number one, understand what it means to be CEO. And what that means from our standpoint is you want to narrow yourself down, focus yourself into managing and monitoring four key areas in business. Forget about all the other stuff.
Okay.
At that point, it is time to start delegating. Think about how you can start to delegate some of the other things that are not part of these four key areas. So those four key areas are mission, marketing, money, and management. And we say in that order. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times what happens is businesses jump straight into marketing, right? Because we have to make some money. We have to get clients so we can make money. But what happens is when we jump into marketing and we stay in marketing, then the business starts to grow, things become overwhelming and out of place and disjointed, out of balance. And it's very difficult for us to create some traction to continue movement. And so it really does begin with mission, right? And so what we will do is we'll sit down as our first order of concern and priority is to identify what is your mission. What is your mission? What is it that you're trying to achieve? What's your long game? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, why are you in this game and what is going to keep you there? What do you want to get out of it? What's your return on investment at the end of the road? Because you're going to invest a lot in business, right? I mean, you've been in business for a while.
A lot, yes.
Yeah.
So we sweat and tears.
Oh, my goodness. All of that.
All of that, right.
And so we help to narrow that down because if you don't have a North Star, if you don't have something that's guiding you, that's going to take you in a specific direction, then it's going to be like a ship in the ocean that, you know, hits the waves. It's just going to be all over the place, right? But you need to have some guidance. You need to have that GPS. So we start there. Money is key, you know, because I'm a CPA. Right, exactly. Money's my thing. But what we do with money is we help companies identify ways to build profitability, remain profitable, use money to as a tool to invest in other ventures, mm-hmm. Other opportunities, building infrastructure so that the company can become sustainable and then continue its way through to legacy. And we've been doing a whole lot of that work.
Well, I was going to ask you, yes, exactly, as it relates to that, because in this season where, like, for instance, with my particular business, we have most of our contracts suspended because we transport people. Mm-hmm. And so the places that we would transport them to, they're not open. Right. And so, you know, my question and probably people who have similar kinds of businesses is how do I terms, pivot and scale when, you know, during this time. I mean, as a business owner, I'm thinking that I'm not sitting around saying, woe is me. I'm trying to figure mm-hmm. out how am I not one of those people whose businesses just collapse when the world opens up, is what I call it, right? Mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. what would be your suggestion? Oh, maybe even tell us an example of a story that one of your clients had shared with you as it related to their business and some suggestions or advice that you've given them.
Yeah, so I think the first thing by way of advice is exactly what you just said, is don't panic. You know, you cannot make solid business decisions based upon emotion and circumstance. So feel the pain. Right. I mean, seriously feel the pain and identify the gaps, because gaps do exist. That gaps exist in your business. So this is a shakeup time.
Yeah.
And before I share some examples, I want to share with your audience that I've been in business for 23 years. I celebrate 23 years in business this year. And over the course of the 23 years I've been in business, this is my seventh crisis.
Wow.
Seventh. By far the worst.
Right.
But it is my seventh. And throughout the processes of managing through them, and I'm going to say this too, every single one of them have been the most lucrative time in my business.
Wow.
Every single one of them. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, number one, I felt the pain, but I didn't panic. Mm-hmm. So all this pandemonium, all, you know, the sky's falling, people running around scared, people are up in arms about, you know, the whole economic stimulus, and there's nothing there for me. My bank's not working with me. Calm your nerves. Mm-hmm. Calm your nerves. Let everybody else go crazy. Calm your nerves. Because there is opportunity in that calmness, right? So don't panic. Number two, take a look at the gaps that exist. So if there is something, some type of impact that is occurring in your business, identify what they are. Mm-hmm. Because when you identify those gaps, now you have an opportunity to start building upon those, so that this is advice I'm telling my clients right now.
Right, right.
Get into the position where this will never happen to me again.
That's right.
This will never happen to me again. And so when you start to think of things like that, now you can get creative. You can start thinking about, where's the money flowing? How can I pivot and position my business to fit within that flow? So for you, Jan, as an example, you provide transportation services and solutions to individuals. You get them to and through certain places.
Right.
Transportation didn't stop.
No, it didn't.
Money didn't stop flowing. Money is fluid. It's always going to find a way to flow. And so the objective is, okay, what's the mode of operation right now as it relates to transportation? What's key and what's critical? And then how is money flowing to that? And then how do I fit in?
Right.
And so when you start to think about those types of things, now I can start building out some opportunities. I can start tapping into my network. I can start having different conversations with people, because you have to get out of the insanity mode. Insanity meaning, you know, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, right? Mm-hmm. So you came to the table with these objectives, and you came to the table with these ideas. And at the end of the day, your mission hasn't changed, but the way that you enter into the market has to change. You have to pivot. Business is all about pivoting. You're going to have to pivot multiple times within your business. You're going to hit plateaus multiple times in your business. It's all about capacity. It's all about knowing when you need to when and how you need to meet the market. And so that's what that is. It's an assessment period. Okay. Unfortunately, some businesses are going to fall off.
Right.
It's going to happen. It's a purging process. I hate to see it happen, but it has to happen. Purging is a key component of growth, period.
Right.
And so this is a purging period for you, and a purging period for the market.
Right. And I saw that even in this company, BTST Services, because we provide our mental health services. So we provide outpatient mental health services, medication management, and psychiatric rehabilitation. We have 4 locations in Maryland, and primarily, you know, we are going either out to people's homes or in the community. People are coming to our office. So they had to pivot pretty quickly to telehealth.
Yeah.
Now that was always an option at our organization, but they had to ramp up like 100-fold, maybe 1,000-fold. I don't know. To make sure that not only the therapist knew how to engage, but that the clients knew how to engage, because we serve a population of children as well. And so we had to then help parents understand how important it was for their children to still be in therapy, but in a different way.
Right.
So, you know, to understand that, and to be able to, like you said, you know, identify, like, people still need mental health services.
Yeah.
And just because we can't go to them or they can't come to us, then what is that sweet spot as it relates to us still being able to provide the service?
Yeah.
So that's absolutely important.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted you to just kind of share about is, you talked a little bit about in this pandemic and this, you know, people panicking as it relates to various relief opportunities for small businesses.
Yeah.
I probably have applied for everything you could apply for.
As well as you should.
Yes.
You should have done that.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so anything and everything. I had a great, great friend and soror who, every time she saw something, whether she thought I qualified or it was applicable or not, she sent it to me. And I'm telling you, I applied. And I've talked to a couple of different people who are, you know, advising small businesses or know a lot about what's going on as it relates to the relief efforts, and they are disheartened. Their clients are disheartened because they just don't have the infrastructure in place. So you're applying for, say, a PPP loan, and you have to have payroll records, you have to have your taxes, you have to, you know, have all these forms. But if you haven't filed taxes in 3 years, or if you don't keep good records, if you don't have some kind of software like a QuickBooks to run a balance sheet and a profit and loss statement, then you're basically not able to apply. So it's not necessarily the system's fault. It's like, I didn't do what I needed to do to get my house in order. Right. And so just give us some, I don't necessarily say advice, but just your perspective on that as it relates to now is the time. If there was ever a time, now is the time to get your house in order.
Yeah, so this is an example of the gaps, right, that I mentioned earlier. Because you're right, you had to have a lot of information readily available in order to apply for these things and get the relief that you needed. And, you know, these are things that we talk to small businesses about on a regular basis. You need to update your accounting records, not at the end of the year. I talk about it in my book. Do not wait until the end of the year to do financial statements just so that you can get your tax returns done. There is no risk mitigation in that at all. You have no way of knowing when it's time to step in and make some changes. So you should be doing your, I don't care how small of a business you are, you should be doing your financial statements every single month, every month.
Every month.
And don't just look at the profit and loss statement. Don't just look at your cash account. Cash is volatile, right? We're experiencing that right now,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's all about profitability. It's taking a look at projections. It's being able to predict the future through budgeting and forecasting. And so you want to make certain that you're looking at your trends on a regular basis. So take that, the finance, some of the things you and I talked, we learned through Goldman Sachs, right? But
right,
these
exactly.
are things that we've been doing for a long time for our clients. But it's really understanding the financial positioning and viability of your company at any given time. That's the first thing. The second thing is have a good financial partner.
Yes, absolutely.
What people are realizing right now in this moment is that the financial partner they had in place was not a partner at all. Mm-hmm. A lot of banks turned their backs on small businesses. A lot of banks did. And so you want to make certain that you have a really good financial partner that is going to move with you, that's going to move at the speed of business, that is open monitoring and managing a relationship with you. You don't have to walk into the branch and have a conversation. They will call you. And so a lot of the local community banks became the champion for small businesses in this process and in this time. And that's something we've been telling our clients for years to do. It's great to have a big bank for
yes.
convenience, right?
Right.
It's good to have a credit union for benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But for growth and scalability, you need, and relationship and flexibility, you need a community bank.
Right.
A community bank for small business is where everybody should actually take their business, because that relationship is going to take you a long way. The third thing that's fallen out of this is, do you have adequate resources serving you in your business?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, economic stimulus is coming to the rescue for a lot of small businesses. But let me tell you, the small businesses that were successfully able to capture funds in that first round mm-hmm. were the ones who had really good resources that surrounded them. And that's what we call the A-team. So you need to have your accountant, your business advisor, your attorney, your insurance broker, human resources. They don't have to be inside your business,
That's
but
right.
they need to be hugging your business.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to make certain that you have those things in place. And if you don't, and there's policies and procedures, you want to make certain that right now you are starting to tighten up those policies and procedures, because now that you have the money, if you've received funding, now it's all about accountability.
Exactly.
And so what's going to happen is you're going to have to report how you spent that money at the end of the road. And so you want to make certain that you have adequate ways to track information. You have adequate ways to document information and report back so that you can show that you are a good steward of taxpayer money. That's number one. That's and number two, that, you know, if you're in a position where you need for this money to be forgiven, you now have the appropriate documentation. So those are some of the things that I'm recommending that companies, you know, pay attention to right now and really tighten it up. And the last thing I'm going to say is don't forget it. Remember I said, feel the pain,
right?
But
right.
really feel it to the point where you won't forget it. Like I said, walk around remembering that this will never happen to me again, because we'll have another economic crisis. It's going to happen. It's going every 10 years. If you look at history, every 10 years, we have a crisis. Wow. I can attest to that.
Right. You've been through seven.
I've been through seven of them. But when I say every 10 years, I mean big ones.
Big ones. Like
big this. Ones. Yeah. The really big one that we had about 10 years ago was when the financial market dropped and the housing market crashed.
Absolutely.
Right. So every 10 years you can expect something. Right. And so be prepared. Don't forget. You know, they say when women give birth to the children, they forget the labor pains. That's why they go back through it again.
Right. Right.
Don't go through it. Commit to yourself that you will never go through this again, that you will be prepared.
You made a great point, and I just want to lift that point in relationship to getting these relief dollars, whether they come from the federal government, the state, or your local municipality. We have to be accountable for those dollars. Yeah. We have to know that whatever it is that they say we're supposed to spend the dollars on, that we spend them on. I've even been talking to people I know that own businesses, and they get excited, Jane, I got the PPP. And I keep saying to them, it is a loan. It can be forgivable, but you have to spend it the way that they prescribe you to spend it, or it's not forgivable and it's still a loan and you have to pay it back. And so I just want to just reiterate that for people, that don't get so excited that you got this money that you then forget about or have selective amnesia about how they said I was supposed to spend the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing in life, and it's true. There's no such thing as free money.
Yep.
Money is not free.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that every dollar that you receive has some string attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Every single dollar. And with the PPP program, the Payroll Paycheck Protection Program, which is the economic stimulus, one of the big ones that small businesses are receiving, they just recently, within the last week, instituted a safe harbor plan, encouraging companies who certified that they needed the funds, but realize it, know for certain that they don't. So they have availability of funds someplace else. Or they have reserve cash flow. They're opening it up for companies to come in by May 14th and give the money back with no ramifications, because SBA, the Small Business Administration, is going to audit. They're going to audit. When companies come and ask for forgiveness, they're going to audit the process.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some penalties associated with it. This stuff has been unfolding, right? The first order of priority was to get money in the hands of small businesses to keep people employed. That was the first order of business. But you can guarantee they recognize that there was a gap. We won't put the money out there, but we won't put these policies in place. And that is what's happening right now. You are going to be held accountable to how you spent that money.
Right. And even, I mean, I've listened to probably, 40 webinars on relief, especially about the PPP. And one of the things that resonates with me is that, like you said, with regard to the audit, but also that people just need to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do with the monies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just encouraging people that have done that to make sure that they do that.
That was the word on the street when it first came out. And the latter part of March is that, you know, financial advisors, even some bankers, were telling people it's free money. You should apply. It's free money. Stop
right.
it.
Right. And almost every day there's some new guidance as it relates to it. You mentioned one that happened mm-hmm. last week. Then there'll be a new one, because they really do not have the prescription as it relates to how they're going to exactly forgive the money. I mean, they have some guidance. 75% needs to be spent on payroll, the other 25% on utilities, rent, you know, that kind of thing. But they're gonna continue to put out guidance when the people who got the money are then asking for forgiveness. They're gonna, you know, it's not like, oh, okay, that's it. I believe there's going to be some additional guidance because the banks are going to be reviewing these too. And so some of that's going to be subjective because each bank is going to put their own little spin on what it would take to forgive this money. So we just need to be, you know, vigilant.
That's why it's important to have a good financial partner, right? Yeah. I mean, you need to stay in communication and contact with your banker. And it's not, your bank is never going to allow you to defraud the government. It's not going to allow you to do that. So stay in contact with them. One of the things that we helped our clients do when you apply for the PPP and they give you money, you first have to sign a note. You have to sign a loan agreement. And so we help them evaluate the loan agreements and question some of the things that the bank had in those agreements and had some of those things change, because the agreements have to follow in line with the intention of the money, right? And so you want to make certain that you have really good relationships, because if you don't, you may get stuck with a loan agreement that you can't get out of.
Right, exactly. So Lisa, I really appreciate you coming on today. And is there any parting advice you'd give to our listeners?
Yeah, so parting advice, don't panic, pivot, and prosper.
Okay. And then tell those that are listening how we can be in touch with you.
Sure, absolutely. So the best way to reach us is through our website, which is www.anavo, it's spelled A-N-A-V-O, transformation.com. And you can also find a little bit more about our services through www.scaletosevenfigures.com, which is where we have created a community of small business owners where we talk about these types of things. We helped a number of small businesses in our group manage through this PPP process. And so if you just want a community of other small business owners that are ready, that are scaling, you can join us through that process.
So you do the group of small business owners, do you do any one-on-one coaching as well?
So we have a free group, which is a Facebook group of small business owners, where I give a lot of information, weekly information to the group. I interview experts. We just do a lot of communication in the group. And so that is the scaletosevenfigures.com. Then we also have a group coaching program. It's called Build Legacy. Well, it's the Legacy Builders Business Accelerator. And to get more information about that, you go to buildlegacynow.com. But we do help companies through the scaling process through a group coaching program. And then we also do provide one-on-one solutions as well.
Okay. All right. So Lisa, before I let you go, and this kind of ties into the very beginning of our conversation when you were talking about the personality test. Mm-hmm. So rapid fire, early bird or night owl?
So I am a early bird.
All right. Giving presents or getting them?
I'm kind of on the fence. I like both.
You like both?
I do. I'm on the fence on that one.
A dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
Milk chocolate.
Text or talking?
Text.
Okay. And this is.
I'm on the fence on that too.
On the fence on that one too?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a inside joke between Lisa and I. Brussels sprouts, yes or no?
Girl, let's talk about that for a second. Yes is the answer. I'm almost up to 200 comments on that.
Lisa, we have to have a talk offline about this, bro.
Oh my goodness.
I have gotten recipes.
Yeah, me too. And guess what I had for dinner last night? Yes. And I didn't plan that. My daughter cooked dinner.
Right. Just amazing. Just amazing what you can just put on Facebook, just a kind of random question, and see how many people engage, and then use that as a business tool to engage others to connect to your business.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about.
I'm about to dissect the psychology around that one.
Right. When you do, let me know.
I sure will.
All right. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to the Meeting You Where You Are podcast, BTST Services. And we just want you to be safe, be healthy, stay home as much as you can until we can flatten this curve, because there will be a time where we can be out, because there is a bright side to this COVID-19. God bless you. Continue to pray for me, and I'll pray for you, and I'll see you next time.